Good evening, gentlemen. Adequate notice of this meeting, July 8, 2019, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 7, 2019, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Dermody?
Here.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
He'll be late.
Okay. I want to just mark absent for the record.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mr. Grohman?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here.
Okay.
Not too much tonight. I wanted to... Well, first of all, we have tonight with us Cameron Carini, and he's the engineer from Carmela Roberts' office. So I know that a few people had questions the last couple of meetings concerning different infrastructure issues. So a little later on, we will, or I guess maybe before the Public Works or Finance Committee reports, we can have the opportunity to pummel Cameron with questions or explanations. And I just wanted to say that we had a lovely July 4th celebration. We had live music. We had activities for the kids. We had the magician again and the bouncy house. And it was a beautiful day. A lot of people helped cook the food. And the Environmental Commission had a table. It was just really nice. It was kind of an old-fashioned Roosevelt picnic. So I wanted to thank everyone who worked so hard in putting it together, because once again in Roosevelt everything is volunteer. So from H&H Gas, who provided the grills as they do every year and a refrigerator for us, to Eric Schubiger and his three sons who give up their July 4th to come and help set everything up and break everything down.
Who's this?
Eric Schubiger, he's our recreation director.
Okay.
But he comes on July 4th and brings all three of his sons, who I'm sure at least two of them would rather be somewhere else, but they help him do everything. And all of the different people who, a lot of people cooked food, brought food, and we had Danny Adlerman singing, providing live music. So I just want to thank everyone who helped and who came and volunteered and made it such a nice event. And we also, on June 27th, had an open house here. It was an open house / retirement party for Bill Counterman. I think everyone knows that Bill Counterman retired from his many years at the post office. So the party, we had lots of food, and Joe put music on for us. And and it was a nice opportunity for the residents to see the new Borough Hall and also say goodbye to Bill. So I think we took some photographs, which we'll probably put in the bulletin in September. And I think that's it now. Come to public comment at 7:14. Agenda items only. Mr. Public, anything you want to comment on?
Good question. It says under old business dog ordinance, what is the status of that?
Here it is.
Okay, yeah.
Well, I think it's for discussion.
For discussion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Might I have a copy of it?
No, I don't. I think we're going to discuss instituting a dog ordinance.
Right.
Or
okay.
A new one.
Yeah, we just have notes right now. It's just a draft in there.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So at some point we want to put
absolutely.
Yeah. If it goes forward, it would be in August.
Yeah. And it's got real definitions in here, I see.
I'm not going to say. I'm not going to say.
I have two dogs in none of the definitions. None of them. That's right.
Okay. Anything else? All right, close the public portion at 7:15. Come to approval of minutes. Do I have a motion for June 24th, 2019, regular council meeting minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Okay.
Yes, Chair.
Mr. Bowen?
Minutes.
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr.
No, I think, Esikoff? Were you here, Luke?
Oh, no, yeah.
Oh, wait,
yeah,
that's
sorry.
Right. It's got to abstain. So just say abstain.
Abstain.
Mr. Ethicoff?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Mr. Broman?
Yes.
And come to approval of minutes for June 24th, 2019, closed council meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Abstain.
Mr. Ethicoff?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Broman?
Yes.
Correspondence, we have none this month. We come to resolutions. Do I have a motion for resolution 19-85, payment of bills, July 8th, 2019?
I vote that we pay the bills.
I'll second that.
Second. Any discussion?
Got it.
Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicoff?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Broman?
Yes.
Good. Resolution 19-86, authorizing the award of a non-fair and open contract for professional cemetery management services to Sutphin Memorial Incorporated, 53 Somerset Street, Hopewell, New Jersey. And this is, we had had a three-year contract which expired on June 30th. And I think I mentioned that I renegotiated a new contract where we'll be paying $1,800 a year less, which comes out to $600 a month. And hopefully, I don't think it will affect our cemetery services at all. I discussed it at length with Doug Sutphin, and he thinks we'll be fine. If something arises on a as-needed basis, we can always hire him to, you know, perform the work separately from what's in the contract. And it's also open to renegotiation. So if we find that we need it to go back to the amount of work that he did before, we can always increase it. But for now, Doug thinks that this will be fine, that we can make do with him having a little less oversight at the cemetery.
Who is he? Is he the one from Hightstown?
Well, you know, it's weird because it says Hopewell, but yes, he's the one from Hightstown.
Okay.
Yeah.
That wasn't the same one that's been there for years and years.
I think so, yeah. Yeah. Since I've been on the council, I think it's been him.
Well, that's not that long.
15 years.
Years ago, it was somebody else.
Oh, maybe.
So what is he not doing that he worked in?
Well, a little bit more. You know, he's constantly adding soil to the headstones, around the headstones, to make sure that they're upright and in good condition. And yes, he will.
He will.
But suppose if we say we have another, well, that's all we ever have anymore is rain. But, you know, if it's just been raining too much and too many of them need more soil, he said soil's expensive. So at that point he might say to me, Peggy, I've had to use, like, my allotment of money for this month for soil. So he doesn't foresee that, but it would just be something like that. Apparently, it's very costly to take the soil, you know, to build up the headstones or the foundation around the headstones.
And he also
cleans the headstones.
Without having the old contract, is this basically the same, aside from the price?
Well, and a little bit less.
In terms of duties?
Maintenance, yeah.
Okay.
But he's the one. I mean, when I brought up trying to renegotiate for... It just seemed we were paying $9.25 a month, and I wasn't clear exactly what that entailed, because I was thinking that we don't have that many funerals, so it seemed like a lot of money for every month when there's, luckily, you know, not too many funerals here. But I didn't realize that it really more than overseeing the funerals is the upkeep of the headstones and the foundations. But he said to me, I really think it'll be fine. And if it turns out it's not, we can renegotiate. Mm-hmm. I was just looking to see if we could save some money.
Is this above and beyond any work he does to, for instance, write one of the headstones is sinking or something? Does he charge extra for that? Or that
no, that's part of his duties. Yeah. It's just that if we would have, you know, any kind of, like a Sandy or just one of those weeks where it never stops raining, I guess, and then they start, you know,
or
tilting a little.
more erosion or...
Yeah, good, that's a good word I could not think of. Then, right. But he doesn't foresee any problem with it.
Mm-hmm. I just noticed, because I go check the Ben Brown grave out once in a while, that the Orthodox portion of the cemetery, they removed a lot of trees and did a lot of... I guess when they brought the heavy equipment...
It's not Orthodox, it's just the synagogue section.
The synagogue section. They did a lot of work over there, and I assume that that's theirs.
That's completely theirs, yeah. That's their land.
But they did leave a lot of big ruts in the ground.
Oh, really?
Like in the normal... So all the way at the bottom of the cemetery, it's like, you know, semis turned around there or something like that.
Oh, really?
So they should be responsible.
Yeah,
I don't know the Dougwood charges to repair that.
Well, I believe, and I don't know this for certain, I believe that Doug does their work also. But I can contact them and find out.
Yeah, if you go up there and look, I even took a couple of pictures.
This contract does not count, doesn't include the...
Correct.
Thank you.
The synagogue portion.
Oh, yeah, that's completely private. Yeah. But I can find out about that. I didn't notice that, Joe. I can look.
Yes.
I can find out about that.
It's like ruts,
okay.
You know.
And then
okay,
where that is placed, I'm not sure. Where is it? Could all that erosion come into our municipal, or is it?
This is truck tracks. I mean, truck tracks. You know, like semi-trailer
truck
tracks.
I can contact them.
I'll send you a picture.
Or it could be JPNL.
That was these guys.
They turned around in my driveway and missed the driveway, and I have ruts about this deep to the side of the driveway now.
With all the rain? Any
well, that was over the winter they did that.
Over the winter? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't care about that.
Okay.
So roll call.
I didn't even get a first or second.
No?
No, you just,
okay.
We just started.
Can I have a motion for resolution 19-86?
I'll move it.
I'll second that.
No, we'll go.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essipoff?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Okay, 1986 passes. Reports of committee chairs. I think I'll go out of order. I know Mike Hamilton wanted to be here to have when Cameron was speaking, so I'll just give him a few. Oh, wait, is this? Oh, no, this is you texting me something.
No, that's the picture here.
Okay. I think he. All right, we'll just. So I think what we'll do is. Let's see.
You can still start with Mr. Bowen.
Or. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can do committee reports and then go to. Committee reports and the rest of them we can go to county. It's short. There's not that much. Okay. Councilmember Bowen, Public Works.
The only thing I have is Greg's been continuing work on the borough hall here in the office section. Also, he's been he's waiting on a second quote for the fire hydrants. And he has two contractors scheduled for an appointment to... So that's moving along. That's about it.
Okay. Who's going to when we get to
Well, he's two contractors that he's
getting a contract with. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought we were doing that next time.
Did we do we know anything more about Dave Teich's backyard?
What?
Dave Teich's backyard.
I was hoping to hear something from Mike.
Yeah, that's why I'm hoping Mike gets here before we end the meeting. But
Mike Tyson's backyard, is that a...
Remember, we saw the...
Is that a soap opera?
It is. His four-wheeler was over.
Remember, we were talking about his truck is sunk into the mud, sinking into the mud, or it already sank.
That's nice. That's nasty.
You got to get it towed out.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Yep. Okay.
Councilmember Dermody?
Nothing.
Oh, no, I skipped Lou. Sorry,
what?
Lou.
What?
Administration?
Oh, we're administrating.
Good.
I'm doing
to know.
Very well at it.
Good.
Thanks to the ladies again.
Thank you.
Councilmember Dermody?
I have nothing new to report.
Okay. Councilmember Trammell? Can we hear about the wedding?
My son got married, right? Utramelli. No, everything seems to be water is clean, sewer is clean. You know, and the guys are trying to work out what they can work out with what they got to work with right now. So, yeah.
Good.
Why did you build the barn? Did you build the barn for the wedding?
Yeah. My son did it all himself. I didn't even want to. I chipped
in
after
the fact. He built the barn for his son's wedding. I don't care if he did that as long as we were all there, but.
My daughter's getting married next year. So
okay.
We'll work
on it. You can use my backyard.
I don't know what she's going to do. Okay.
Councilmember Roman?
Nothing at this time.
But your cruise was good?
Cruise was phenomenal.
Okay. Report to borough officials. Do you have anything, Mike, from environmental?
Just want to say that, you know, following up on what you said about the 4th of July, that the Environmental Commission did at the table. And, you know, I would know that the environment, that we had very high participation by the members of the Environmental Commission. And, you know, it is a really very active group, and everybody participates.
I saw everyone there, yeah.
Yeah, right. You know, we took turns. Everybody, we have good coverage every hour, and everybody, you know, Steve Taylor, who's not a member, but is as active as anybody else, is committee chair. Everything else, so you know, everything's working out quite
well. And handed out.
And Joe was kind enough to provide us with a banner, so
right,
that way
people
knew that it was the environmental. If they couldn't tell by the milkweed,
they could tell by
Joe's banner. But thank you.
And they were
those plants are great. Yeah, the plants are a really nice gesture.
But they gave a quiz also.
And we have the quiz. Yes, right. That's right.
Oh,
took the quiz.
We had the quiz.
Okay,
with the kids, right.
This recyclable or not?
Right. So they had
a whole
six is
stuff.
Orange.
Several activities. It's good.
Yeah, this isn't.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Would you like to discuss the dog ordinance, Lou?
I beg your pardon?
The dog ordinance?
So we're on old business, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. We're on old business, which is discuss the dog ordinance.
Are you on old business now?
Yeah.
Okay. It sounds very comprehensive to me. I have no objection to it.
Let me go over a couple of notes that I made.
Where's this from? Is this, you guys put it together? Or
put it together.
Cut and paste? Or
no. I mean, you know, a lot of ordinances, you find it from other towns that utilize
exactly,
the ordinance and enforce the
ordinance.
It's pretty
obvious that you're not a dog owner.
I'm not a dog owner.
I'm not a dog lover.
Really? Oh, my God. You're in the wrong town.
Greg is, though.
I can tell that by the ordinance.
Yeah. Just a couple notes I just wanted to draw people's attention to is Section 5, enforcement. I recommend that the provisions of this article shall be enforced by the code enforcer, whether that's, you know, you have a code...
We have a code enforcement officer.
Enforcement officer.
Yeah.
So that's what I would recommend. But I think we should also put enforcement... something regarding citizens' complaints. We don't want it to be where people file frivolous complaints against people that are violating, you know, neighbors that are behaving badly. But we should have something where, you know, because it's tough for a code enforcement officer to catch everyone that is, you know, everyone that has their animals that are improperly disposing of their waste.
They could do DNA samples.
It would be a crappy job.
And you poop when you're done.
Well, it's enforced by him, but the complaints can come in to...
They can, but there's certain
right?
requirements that we should put in the ordinance regarding citizens' complaints. It should be very specific. Remember, any complaint that's issued, municipal court rules apply. So that, you know, court rules. And those things are, you know, with specificity, complaints should be specific on its face. So people know that what they're being charged with and what the defenses that they should be preparing, you know, if they were to take it to trial. So we need to work that out as far as, you know, how we're going to, you know, work with citizens' complaints, you know, what requirements we're going to have, photos or witnesses and things of that nature. So that's one of the notes I made that we should work on.
How about we have an animal control person, Jean?
Yeah, but isn't
But the problem is in an animal control, like 99% of the complaints are going to be based on citizens' complaints, private citizen complaints. You're not going to have a full-time, you know,
and they
enforcement officer that goes around trying to track people down.
Can you, put in the ordinance that all citizen complaints would be
in writing?
Anonymous?
No, because a citizen's complaint can't be anonymous because those are the people that are going to have to come to court. Right, because the state will have a prosecutor, but the prosecutor will need the witness, and that witness is the private citizen.
Right.
So they would act; it cannot be anonymous, unfortunately.
Do we get a lot of? I know you have a problem at your fire hydrant.
Oh, do I ever?
Right, but I mean, in general, do we get a lot of complaints?
I know this is
I know Anna had a few in like a week or two time frame that prompted.
Well, what we don't want is people to, you know, if there's a blatant violation, then, you know, you as a citizen of Roosevelt, you know, should put your name on it.
Yeah.
You know, you're always able to confront your accusers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
a
constitutional right.
Yeah.
So that's something we have to work on as far as what the requirements would be of a citizen's complaint.
Right. Could it be?
And could they go directly to the court and do a complaint there? Or are you
do you have a local court here?
Millstone.
Well, it's Millstone
they would,
Roosevelt
right,
Court.
So they could go either there or the police station. Oh, so the police is the state police. So it would have to be at Millstone.
Yeah. Now, people come, and I've been here while people come and really target Anna and really...
Right, but a complaint has to be issued by a law enforcement officer because there has to be probable cause found.
Could there be like a form that they fill out with their name on it that the
But it would have to be done at whether it's at a police station or at the municipal court.
Couldn't be done like locally.
No, because for a ticket to be issued, it has to be probable cause found.
Okay, then just
unless it's a code enforcement officer who has those abilities to issue complaints.
Right. But for her, worrying about her more or less by herself here, people coming in and out, a dog. Could there be a form that she could give them and say, fill this out, take it to Millstone Court?
Well, you could maybe do that or, you know, provide some instructions as to, you know, filing a citizen's complaint. I don't have an issue with that.
Okay. I mean, Anna's really going to give the information to the code enforcement officer who's going to go and investigate. But I think, I'm not sure, Andrew, he can't issue a complaint if he doesn't see it.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
Okay.
Video evidence.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, yes, if you have video evidence, that can be, that's admissible.
What happens if it rains? Like, you're ready to go out, then it rains?
So
we put, like, a little TP over it so that
take pictures, circles
I mean,
and arrows on the front, you know.
I would think he would be able to maybe
talk to
somebody about it that he's seen.
They can absolutely come here and say, I'm having a problem with my neighbor. You know, can you have someone look into this? Or, you know, something of that. That can be anonymous. But if for a citizen's complaint to be issued, there has to be probable cause. And that person would have to go to, whether it's law enforcement or to the courts, to file those complaints.
I just worry that they come here and they're irate with Anna. And, you know, what does she do?
I mean, I don't foresee this.
Well, that's why we have the new door also.
Yeah.
We have the door that's...
I mean,
somewhat of a barricade.
I mean, I don't know if this is a huge, issue around here.
I don't care. My neighbor does. He'll pick it up.
But this ordinance, well, at least there's an avenue.
There's something at least on.
I mean, the local residents are always, they might be irate, but they're always respectful of Anna. You know, I don't think Anna's in any danger.
One question.
Yes.
Now, this applies also to cats?
Turkey, deer?
Yes. Let me
see.
Yes. A domesticated animal.
Except who do you know whose cat is who? And
well, yeah, because...
You don't walk a cat?
There are a couple of cats around that I've seen.
Wild cats.
Wild cats is not domesticated, so if you look under definitions...
Wild cats is let out by somebody, and, you know, we don't let ours out anymore unattended. But I think there probably are a number of people who...
What a can of worms.
Staying in holes in people's yards or gardens or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, so a court's not going to, or whether that's a court or the police, they're not going to have charges if you don't have certain elements, right, to prove that there is a violation. You have to witness it. You have to have proof that it's, you know, a domesticated animal of, you know,
such and such.
Bowen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, those are things that have to be presented for a complaint to actually be issued.
So what are the criteria now for a complaint to be issued?
Well, there'd have to be probable cause. There'd have to be a witness to it. There would have to be proof, which is, you know, the evidence that would be videos or them as a personal, you know, observation.
Well,
but they'd also have to prove ownership of that domesticated animal, you know, because they have to prove the owner. You can't issue a cat or a dog a ticket.
Okay. So that
you don't want to over-regulate too much.
Yeah,
I mean,
So where's the real problem? The real problem is with dogs.
It's not like we're a gated community with so many.
There are people walking by and allowing their dogs to make on private property, even on the Listen, the my fire hydrant is not private property. It's on the right of way on the borough property. But by the same token, let me tell you something. If I were a fireman, you're gonna be in big trouble around my fire hydrant.
So this is really just so that there's something on paper, so when people complain, we have an
if there's multi right.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are going to want to stay anonymous, so they might just, you know, complain to Anna. That might just be there.
Okay.
So do we
want
to...
So if you want, I will make a few of the changes, and then maybe at next meeting you can introduce the ordinance with... Oh, I just wanted to address also violations. We recommend for a first violation, $50. Second violation, $100, and third, $500.
How about the first violation, a warning? Second one,
a warning?
No, there has to be some sort of damage, a fine, or a penalty assessed.
I was going to say a warning and hand out plastic bags with your warning.
you can't do that because then you can't file a complaint with the court because they have to have some sort of ordinance to go off of it. They're not there to be a issue warnings.
Well, $10 the first one, lower for the first one, and then 50.
I mean, I'm listening to everyone. You know,
I have no objection to $50.
Yeah, $50 is a tank of gas. People, $10 is.
I'm old. I remember when it was 25 cents a gallon.
I have to tell you something. What instigated this whole thing, that person, I've seen him walk his dog. I didn't see him holding a plastic bag either.
Yeah.
So he's listening to anybody.
Did you want to do 50, 100, and maybe 250 as the third?
That sounds reasonable.
More.
I like the 500.
It's
much more of an impact.
Serious.
A lot more impact.
It
right.
is, yeah.
And because that means you just don't care and keep flipping your nose at it. $500, you're probably really going to think about getting caught doing it again.
That's more than my auto deductible.
Seriously. Run down the car. Like
so what were you thinking? 100, 250, and 5?
Well, no, the 50, 100, 500.
Oh, and then skip.
By the third time, if he hasn't learned it, he deserves to get nailed.
Is everyone okay with that?
Okay. If we implement this, there should be, like, this ordinance should be publicized.
Oh, absolutely.
A bulletin or something so people will understand.
Well, we'll have an introduction and then the following meeting.
Right. Well, there's some places to do it.
There's a lot more than that.
It'll be
code of public hearing.
When it's
but
when
the
it's
on the 500 for a third violation.
This will go on our website.
Okay, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
For
yeah.
a dog? It just seems, I don't know, it seems excessive.
Yeah. Well, because you figure in places where it was beach towns, for instance.
Well, people are
they're really strict on the sand. And
well, not even on the sand, just on the street. People take their dogs down and they're walking down the street, and where you have like large tourism, they don't want people constantly.
I lived in New York before there were pooper scooper laws.
You
just walked with your head down the entire, you never picked up your head.
I lived in New York when that happened, and I lived in the West Village, and there was a night and day difference.
Yeah,
people enforced it themselves.
Yeah.
People that walked the animals.
Yeah, it changed everything.
If you stop at the on the upper west side, it's the same thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Clean up right away.
Yeah. Or we'll have... Is everyone on board with 50?
I would make a suggestion, this is aside from the ordinance itself. I think if and when we pass the ordinance, which I suspect we will, we might want to just put something in the bulletin.
Oh, yeah, that's what Kathleen said. And also on our website.
And on the website.
And mention that it'll be 1,500 and 500 on the third offense.
We also have quite a few new families moving in now. Many of the older families are moving for old age and death. Yep. So
you could even do signs, with per ordinance.
Yeah, we do. We have we have signs at the cemetery that you have to clean up after your pet. But anyway, so I'm going to try to put together a packet for new residents because we really have a lot of new people moving in. And so I was thinking, I don't think anyone can tell them right away when's trash and recycling, our July 4th picnic, check the website for official business and social business. I'm trying to put together a packet now to hand out to people, whether maybe Jeremy will hand it out when he does the COs. And so that's something we could put on there. We have an ordinance, you must clean up after your dog.
Good idea.
In fact, I was going to ask for input if anyone had anything.
The Roosevelt Need to Know packet.
Yeah. Welcome to Roosevelt, but you better know this.
Curb your dog.
Who was it that used to do that?
Oh, a million years ago?
No. It was not that many years ago.
I don't know.
Who was it?
But if anyone has any input actually on what something else they think should be included,
they need to get a mailbox.
Because realtors tend to either not be entirely truthful, or there's just lots of things that realtors don't know about living here.
I remember his name, Borroyente.
Yente of the Borroyente. Speaking of the Borroyente, here he is.
That was Peter Warren.
Just wrapping up.
That was Peter Warren.
That's who it was. That's exactly who it was.
So it's been a while, though, because he died quite some time ago.
He went around with a packet.
I know. Yeah, but that was not that. It wasn't that it wasn't that long ago. It was a long time ago.
No, we're just discussing.
Well, you were here.
I'm just going to mark the record that
at 7.
42,
Councilman Hamilton arrived.
Sorry.
Now we can stop bantering now that you're here.
She's still around?
Lots of testing.
The test?
Listen, you don't have to report. We've told you the butter is broke. That's it. We're done.
Did you have anything, Mike, for your report? Or you just
No. No report.
Okay, so let's... all right, well, let's just finish up, and then we'll go right to Cameron. So new business, we have the use of the Borough Hall tables and chairs, not the actual Borough Hall, but lending out the tables and chairs to Sanaa at Castlehome for her daughter's first birthday party.
You make a motion and a second and then just all in favor. But she did pay for,
What did she pay?
Tables and chairs, $100.
Paying for it, or is
she'll get reimbursed. When
you get reimbursed if it all comes back.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Correct.
So do we have a motion to let Sanaa borrow our tables and chairs?
I move that we allow her to borrow the tables and chairs.
You know who she is? She's Ann Castleman's daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. She didn't change her last.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I know. Everyone said aye. Okay. Public comment. We open the floor to public comment at 7:44.
Mike? Hey, Michael Tickton, 37 North Valley Road. Two things. One, on the dog ordinance, one thought. I believe, he certainly had an effect if it wasn't hopefully not lost in the recodification, the public health nuisance code. The question is that...
Which one?
The public health nuisance code. If that covers it, and this would be enforced by the county health department as the enforcing agency for the borough. So, we might want to just look at that and make sure we're not dealing with something that's already covered. Okay.
Well done.
And the other thing on the cemetery, it's one thing that question I wanted to raise. One of the things that the that the contractor is required to do. It says enforce the cemetery rules and regulations. Now, does this mean that he is exercising governmental powers? You know, and I think that's an important distinction. You know, would it be better if he was notifying somebody who has governmental, a code enforcement official, of any violations, and that person be the actual enforcer? The reason I think this is a problem is there's a conflict here, because one of the things that's regulated is the monument, the placement of monuments, the sizes of monuments, things like that. So, now, it would be good if somebody had checked that there's one monument up there that was put in, it was a double stone, a total violation of the ordinance.
Right.
Nobody caught that.
I noticed that too.
Right. And, I mean, that's what the job should be doing. But since he is in the monument business, he's in the position of regulating himself and also regulating his competitors, which I would see are his competitors feeling that they are potentially at a disadvantage when the guy who is their competitor is telling them what to do in his capacity as a public official. So it might be solvable by saying that he reports anything to somebody else who is the code enforcement official, who is the one who actually issues any orders. Just suggesting that as a way of dealing with that problem.
I think that's a very valid point.
Yeah, okay. Okay, because
this, I believe, was in the contract before this.
Yeah, it was
a problem.
And
I was concerned
contract.
About it in the past as well. This potential conflict, given that he is in the business, that he, if he's regulating the placement of monuments, he's regulating himself and his competitors.
Right.
And that's not that's a problem. Okay, thank you.
So we close the public portion at 7:47. All right, we'll go out of order now, and as I said, we have Cameron Carini here tonight from Carmela Roberts' office, because I know the last couple of meetings, there were some questions about our infrastructure. So anyone like to? You guys were asking for Carmela to come, so.
Well, I didn't realize you were going to be here. I would have brought paperwork, but come on up and... the last tear sheet or itemized list that I got from Carmela involved the Homestead Lane repaving, Holmes and Cedar and Elm Court, I believe, the two courts.
Correct.
Along with the water and the sewer as a separate issue on the bottom, right?
Yes.
Okay. And the total of all of that came to around 700 and something thousand,
right,
I believe.
Between 600 and 700.
Okay. That's basically complete. There's nothing else that, aside from engineering fees, soft cost, and whatnot.
The construction fees?
The construction, that it was the construction fees. So.
Correct.
Okay.
You have monitoring fees, too?
For the, inspection?
Inspection fees?
That was in addition. I don't recall what the contract was for that. My guess is probably around $30,000 or $40,000.
Do you have somebody there watching the store?
Correct. Yeah. So we would have somebody on site for the inspection. Right. We have an engineer in the office.
Oh,
just monitoring.
Is that microphone on? Okay, good.
Sorry.
Okay.
An engineer in the office monitoring everything. Plus, we'd be doing all the grant and loan administration associated with it.
That's excellent.
No, that's all included in that fee.
Because
you actually have possibly two funding sources. You have a DOT grant that covers all the curb, sidewalk, and roadway improvement.
Right.
We've got that loan application to the I-Bank for the water main improvements.
Now, the I-Bank loan, was that the one where we lost that I-Bank?
Yes and no. It's kind of up in the air.
No.
So that was just going to cover the water main improvements. That was roughly $450,000.
Right.
And in late March or early April, the I-Bank came back and said it's not looking good for Roosevelt. You didn't rank high enough in there.
Okay. Now, we've put off everything for 6 months, I believe, putting the bids out.
Kind of, sort of. So the timeline for the project is being determined by the DOT grant you have. The DOT grant,
okay.
It expired, I think, in
May.
And we requested a six-month extension.
Right.
And that
pushes the deadline to November. That's a deadline to award a contract to a contractor.
So you have to put the RFP.
To award it, yes. You would have to advertise it.
RFP in like September, or 2 months before, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, just to meet that deadline.
Right.
At the same time, we're still going through all the motions with the iBank.
So it's possible with the iBank?
It's possible, but I wouldn't bank on or count on it.
Right.
They, for the last year and a half, they've been really iffy with all the responses that they've been given.
Okay. Any concept of why we got lowered to the bottom of the list?
Or? But they changed how they rank projects now. So before, it used to be you make a submission, as long as you have all the documentation and backup information, you got the money, you got the loan,
right.
And then later on they would determine the amount of loan forgiveness, you know, how much money they would give back, plus
right.
They would determine the interest rate later on.
Okay.
Now, because they've had so many people, or so many applicants making submissions, they just don't have enough money to cover all those projects. So now it's based on a need ranking, specifically water quality. When I say that...
So are we being punished for having good water?
Yeah,
yeah.
You're being punished. We got good water.
It sounds funny. You're being punished for having good quality water,
right.
And you actually make too much money.
So we should have applied for this a couple of years ago. We would have been number one.
Can I ask a question? I think we're talking about two things. We're talking about the loan forgiveness program where they were going to possibly forgive half of the,
that's
half
the
of principal.
That. Right.
Yeah.
But we're also talking about iBank funding, even if they don't do the
all of it. It's not
all of it's up in the air, is what
correct.
You're saying.
Yeah,
okay.
It's not just the forgiveness.
All right. So if we don't hear from the iBank that they're going to give us iBank funding for our loan, we have to go out to other sources for it. Right.
Correct. But you'd still be under that DOT deadline, so you'd still have to award the contract by November.
Okay.
And just because everything with the iBank is still up in the air, we're still going through all the motions,
okay.
Through all the submissions and the reviews with the state for the iBank funding. They said that within the next week or two, we should have an answer of whether or not the documents meet the requirements of the iBank. Not necessarily if the funding is there, but you know we meet all their requirements, which really just sets you up for, in the future, if money just happens to appear, you would still qualify.
I believe
good
in Santa Claus, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But in the meantime, as I looked at the itemized sheet there, there was a portion of it that was for DOT and a portion of it that was for the iBank.
Correct.
So those are two separate issues. My concern is I'm head of the Utilities Committee and like raising rates and stuff like that. So if we get no satisfaction from the iBank, we're pretty much on our own to go out and bond that part for the water and sewer.
I would think so, because even if there was another loan or grant or some other funding mechanism,
mm-hmm.
I find it highly unlikely that you'd be able to meet all the requirements to get that funding before the November deadline.
In the time frame that we got.
Yes, yeah, so at that point you'd lose the DOT money.
So what is our drop-dead date for putting RFPs out for the DOT?
When's your November meeting?
November meeting?
Second Monday.
Well, it's actually Veterans Day, so we would probably meet, we're probably going to meet Tuesday the 12th.
So it'd be 2 months before that?
Roughly. I'd say you absolute latest, probably September, October 1st.
Well, the first meeting in October is not till the 4th. I mean, our first meeting, which is the second Monday, is not till the 14th. Should we do it in September?
Yes. If we want to have our act together, we'll have it
which
together
would be the
by September
23rd.
This might be my misunderstanding. Do we still require... Are we still waiting on an authorization to advertise from the borough? I don't know if you've already approved us to advertise or not.
We approved that.
I thought we did.
So we wouldn't necessarily need to wait for another council meeting, per se.
We could put RFPs out at least for the DOT.
Do you know, Mike? Did we?
I don't know for sure.
Do you think Greg knows?
We'd have to check them.
I think we did as well. I just don't recall.
Yeah. No, it's okay. None of us do either.
Yeah.
I thought we did.
I think it was 05. 19 days
well,
05.
The other solution, if we don't get iBank bank funding, we could probably go through the MCIA.
I'm not sure.
Monmouth County Improvement Authority and get as another funding source possibly. I don't know. But IBAC funding is certainly preferable because I think they were averaging a little over 1% with the blended kind of
rate. The rates are good, isn't it, along with the grants that they're wearing.
But MCIA is maybe around 3%.
It'd be a George question, Georgian bonding.
And then just keep in mind the timelines still dictate where the funding comes from and what you're able to do.
So we're only going to have this meeting this month, July, August. We're going to
have August 12th, and then we have September 9th and 23rd.
So we have just a little time in terms of meetings to figure this out.
Well, we'll find out if we approved it or not as far as.
You guys will let us know what's going on with the IBank this next week, even if it's slim or none chance.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're calling them every week, but they've just been dragging their feet because there's no money.
That's government.
For anyone or just for the people with good quality water?
Good quality water.
Yeah.
Right.
It's ironic, isn't it?
We don't want to mess with the good quality water. We like
it. If you really want to get
and that's it. The only criteria. The fact that we're so small that we need money so badly doesn't affect them.
Yeah, they're focusing their money on municipalities or utilities that have, when I say water quality issues, they're not meeting permit limits. You're meeting all your permit limits the way your system is set up right now.
We have a couple other questions, too, from members of the public regarding curbs and gutters when some of this work gets done. They were looking at, I think, EPA best practices recommendations that possibly you don't just go with curbs and gutters because it doesn't allow the water time to percolate, to perk into the ground.
Yeah.
And that you look at other solutions. Is that a possibility on any of our projects to look at those kinds of
To a degree. Roosevelt doesn't have the best soils in the world, so there's only so much percolation you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Part of what we're doing on Homestead Lane, the back half of Homestead, we're generally letting the water move the way it currently does, which it goes to the curb line, and then it kind of makes its way towards North Valley Road.
Yeah.
And then towards North Valley Road, the curbs kind of just disappear, so the water goes into those wetland areas already. There are a few inlets over there, but they're raised a little bit, so it already gives the opportunity for water to percolate. On Cedar and Elm, you actually have, catch basins with false bottoms, so all the water will come to one structure and then just percolate down. I don't know how familiar you are with all the structures you have in the borough, but Oscar Drive, right on the corner of Oscar and Rochdale, you have a structure over there.
Okay.
Same type of thing. There's no concrete bottom. It's just filled with stone, so as much water can percolate down as possible before it gets moved with the piping.
That's good to know.
Yeah, that answers the question of Mayor.
That was School Lane.
Well, that was regarding School Lane, but
right. In
general, I think it's a good thing to consider.
And School Lane, we're just in the grant application process right now,
right.
So we haven't done any design or real analysis. Really, it's just throw as much on paper as possible to get that cost up so you get a higher grant amount. And then we worry about what we do with the runoff, subject to being awarded the funding.
Would the catch basins, it would really pay for us to have those back at least once a year?
I don't know, once a year. It really depends on the location and what type of debris you're seeing. I know there are some locations where they're surrounded by trees and they're just filled up.
The whole town is surrounded by
the
trees.
Like that.
We actually have less. We lost so many trees after Sandy, but we're nothing but trees here.
Yeah, I know. And leaves are all over the place.
Yeah.
It certainly doesn't hurt. I think Public Works should just take a look at the inlets. I think once or twice a year should give you plenty of opportunity to make that assessment.
Now, we do have the whole concept of drainage here is starting to percolate up, to tell you the truth. So we were talking earlier about on Tamara Drive and back of Dave's house. It backs up into the Assunpink.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we reckon with Assunpink about creeks and drainage ditches and things, berms that are there now, little
You may have heard us say we have a resident whose backyard is just nothing but mud. He sent photographs of his pickup truck, which is the mud's up to the top of the tires.
So who do we deal? I mean, that is the state. How do we talk to them about helping us do drainage?
Get water off private property?
Well, that's what he said. Getting water off of private property.
Is this about getting water to the Assanpink or getting the Assanpink a little further away?
Water. There are creeks that lead into the Assanpink Lake, as it were, they don't cut through. They're like 100 or so yards off of people's property. Mm-hmm. But the drainage into those creeks is hindered. And it's a little bit of Roosevelt land, but a lot of Assanpink land. How do we get them to ditch it out or something, or clear the ditches?
And also in regards to the drainage issues that are on
private property, yeah.
You know, so there's a certain responsibility there, and then there may also be, issues with the Assanpink, things they could do. Because it looks like there was originally some sort of plan, some sort of idea about how the water running in that area was supposed to go. Because there are drainage pipes and whatnot that are just filled with dirt or whatever now. Mm-hmm. There have been changes along the way. They put in water pipes or sewer pipes?
There was at one point from Tamara Drive, which is Roosevelt, going back to the sewer plant. And also making a left turn, going to Brown Street. There were provisions there for water pipes, sewer pipes. And so they built that...
There were modifications made to the original drainage plan.
Right.
Modifications were made by putting in these pipes and making berms and whatnot. This is all on Roosevelt property as far as I know.
The Brown Street right-of-way, because it's not really a road anymore.
It's like a fire lane through the woods.
And it has berms on the side of it. So that
hinders,
contributes to the problem of the homeowner in the town here. So, we're just trying to figure out, what do we do first, and who do we get involved with this?
I think the first thing you could do, which would be the easiest, would be to contact DEP. They would have some sort of authority over the water body itself.
EPA?
DEP.
EPA is federal.
Yeah, you want to the state level.
Okay.
Whether or not they return, return your call, can't say.
No, they might.
It really depends.
They've not been very responsive to what we've asked them to do before.
They typically aren't.
Had water problems, they were all over it.
be able to get the county involved just because it's the county. Especially in Monmouth County, there's a great engineering department there.
Yeah.
Whether or not they want to get involved is a different story.
Joey Torre and those guys.
Who do you think
Joey
should contact Cameron?
You could call Joey Torre at the county. He might be able to assist, depending on how much infrastructure they have in the area.
We should get him back over here anyway with a traffic engineer.
Are we talking specifically about 41 Tamara Teich?
Right now.
And the other areas,
if the county gets involved, then maybe it would have some pressure on them. Put some pressure on the DEP, because they're not listening to us, I can tell you that.
Are there any plans or anything in regards to storm runoff and the way things were originally structured?
We have some of it, but not all of it. And I think storm is where we're a little light on. I could tell you all about the sanitary and the water. It's the storm is...
Because there are ditches and channels and stuff back there. There are trees in it. I'd like to get an idea of what it's supposed to look like.
Well, we have a hand-drawn map of storm drainage here in town that was done, I don't know when. So we should go over that ourselves and mark it up.
Yeah, because we went back there in our boots, looking around, and it looks like it's resolvable. I mean, like, you would think, well, if I had a shovel, I could dig all that out, and that water would flow that way.
That might be possible. I can't give you an answer right off the bat because at some point permits become a problem. You have wetlands and flood hazard all over the place around here. That might dictate what you are and are not allowed to do.
But there are state regulations on
just
creeks.
Camera photographs from Dave so he just has an idea of what we're talking about.
All right.
because they're pretty impressive.
Joe and I took some photos that day when we were out.
Yeah, we tried to take a few, but it's hard to tell.
Well, I think his are more recent.
Well, yeah,
they're pretty impressive when you see them.
But there, you know, it's the property next to his lot is where this whole issue is taking place, and you know, and it looks like, you know, at least from the road out, you know, that's our responsibility. And it looks like there were ditches and there wasn't a plan for the way this is supposed to work, and it's not working anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why I want you guys to do that and look at it.
You can take a look. There's nothing wrong with looking, especially like if it's something where it's in the right of way. It's something that we might be able to address, depending on what else is out there. You know, we do a lot of work in Hightstown, and just about every road we do in Hightstown, we end up putting an under drain in, you know, just perforated pipe behind the curb line,
yep.
And then attach it to the nearest inlet. And it doesn't solve all the problems, but it helps alleviate some of the.
Yeah, well, somebody who knows what they're doing may be able to look at it.
Yeah, that's the thing. We're really
there.
At a loss with this situation in his back. That's what he said. Who do we contact, or what do we?
Well, they built the town on a swamp.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. We're just dealing with that. You know, we're at that level now where we can think about
it. It's also a bit more difficult now to get an idea of the land because of all the overgrowth. So.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And when we were back there, it was before spring.
Yeah, when the leaves were down.
You could really get a good look at what was going on.
So we should plan on when the leaves fall.
For right now, all I could say is we could take a look. I could see what records we have, you know, for the historical side of it.
Yeah,
I know
we've
surveyed all over the town. We might have stuff, some relatively.
Is that where the area that we're talking about?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that would be helpful. Chad, do you want to mention your sinkhole?
At my storm drain right from my house.
Homestead.
On
Homestead here.
Where are you?
The paved part of Homestead.
Right by Rush, not too far.
So there's a sinkhole behind the curb. At the storm drain on the up street side, and then on the street side, it's actually collapsed below the asphalt, and now there's a hole.
Yeah.
So you have a hole sinking down the grass behind the curb and the one in front of the curb.
That's a good one. Are you on the portion that's about to be redone? Or
no,
no,
I'm on
redone.
The one
no it's
done
the
like
one that was redone
five,
in 12.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Yes.
It was done in 2012. Part one.
I know we have records about that one, so we'll take a look at that.
Yeah, and there's also the crack that runs right across the center of the street and through the manhole as well.
Perpendicular.
Yeah,
you
would never know. It's only been 7 years. Well, actually, a street life is only 10 years, though, right?
Well, there's a culvert.
That's got to be the
one. And it's pretty deep behind the curb. It goes down like this. I found it during the first mow of the season, and about a month ago now, it opened up on the street. Now there's a hole in the street.
Oh, okay.
Is that hole? Has that hole gotten bigger since you first discovered it?
I didn't. I haven't checked.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I just got home this morning, so I haven't had an opportunity to look
at it. It's quite a hole.
Yeah, we can take a look at that. That might be one of the ones where we would recommend you talk to Hightstown about getting a camera. You know, they've got their little camera on a rod.
Yeah.
We can take a look at the inlet and the pipes around it. See if there's anything we can do.
Right.
That's really what would cause the sinkhole.
Could you do that, Steve, maybe?
Pipe.
Call Hightstown about the sinkhole to videotape it?
Spoke with the sewer guy about that same hole. He said that the way that the drainage is constructed there is, number one, there's a culvert across the street.
Okay.
You know, and a drain on either side, curb drain. And Lou had that experience on his street where that culvert basically collapsed and wasn't really functional. The sewer guy told me that once the water percolates out of the drain, there's a lot of gravel near where it percolated out, that was what surrounded the pipes, the gravel, dirty stone, I guess, and that pushed it out. So the water is just not draining properly from there. And I believe that is part of the whole thing about this part of Homestead that's supposed to go up under the Onyx property there and winds up with that kind of sinkhole in the back of our hole here, that pond we got, because that water goes nowhere. it's collapsed under the building here, as I understand it?
Correct, yeah. You have a pipe basically running right under your feet.
Right under our feet.
Yeah, right over there, yeah.
And it's collapsed, and the water doesn't go to the street out there?
Correct.
And it ponds up back there and probably backs up all the way to Chad's house.
Because I was having, like, a buildup of stone.
Yeah.
In that general area, and now that's where the stone was all built up in the street. That's now where the sinkhole is.
Yeah. So that's.
How are we
going to
try to
find
the
sinkhole?
No, we're going to do the parking. That's where the parking is.
We're actually just, we just got approval from council to move forward with
Nurco
Road, which includes the storm drain around Borough Hall, filling the existing line that goes under Borough Hall, and repaving the parking lot.
Right.
So you can take care of a lot of that all at the same time.
That might help with Chad.
Because I don't know how extensive that hole is underneath the asphalt. So the number of cars that would park out there, I mean, next thing you know, you'd have it collapse and car stuck in the street.
It'll be like Dave Dice's backyard. So down to the axles and whatnot. You know, so, But so that has been approved?
For the Nurco Road, yeah. The estoppel period, I believe, ended on June 21st. So we're getting ready to survey.
You passed the bond on that, and then it had a 20-day estoppel period.
Okay, so we can put RFPs out on that?
Not yet. We have to do the design work now.
Okay.
So the approved bond for the engineering was just approved. So it's now on our survey schedule. Right. So it's probably going to go out to bid in the winter, in the winter for work in the spring, just because of how late we are in the season.
We had the Monmouth County Highway Engineer here, and we spoke with her about that because we're plugging into 571 out there. You know, they're going to have to be a little bit involved.
A little bit. Do you know who, was it Renew?
Or Daria.
Daria Jackamowska?
Yeah. Very nice lady, very
Oh, yeah, she's wonderful. The county has typically taken a position of...
It's our problem.
Oh, yeah. County cares about the pavement. Curb, sidewalk, inlets, it's your problem.
Well, they just paved out there.
I know, yeah.
So we're still in that 5-year
moratorium.
Yeah, but we got to do this.
Oh, we can work around it.
Okay.
That's not a problem.
Okay. All right, I'm good. Yeah, this part we should get done as soon as possible.
Can I
do it?
Tom, no, sir, do you think that possibly you could just look at the whole first part of Homestead that was done in 12, because it's a mess, don't you think? It's in poor condition, and it's only 7 years old.
We could take a look.
I mean, there's the sinkholes in front of Chad's house, there's a lot of cracks. Don't you think there's cracks?
There are. Like I said, the one that runs, like, right through the manhole, and I think there's one a little bit up the street from that one as well, or just down the street. Obviously, the sinkhole. Don't know if they're at all related.
Yeah.
But
We can take a look at it.
I mean, I don't know. You know, it's, you know, we don't have a grant to do that part of Homestead, obviously, but just...
We could take a look at it.
Just see. Because the street length's supposed to 10 years, right? But
typically, a lot of them last longer. The problem with...
We don't have that much traffic on Homestead, and it's not like it's rushed out.
Carmel and I were actually just joking a few weeks ago. We're running out of roads to do in Roosevelt because you don't have that many. But the problem that we have a lot of the time around here is the soils. The soils are terrible, which is why you have a lot of that contributes to your water main breaks. You know, your soils start moving. Your old, nearly 100-year-old cast iron pipes start shifting a little bit, and then they crack. And it's the same sort of thing that you'll see.
What kind of soil do you mean? Do we have, because the soil's like a lot of clay or acidic?
It's really
or?
Wet.
Oh, as well.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of goes
that we know.
So there's really no structural stability in your soil, which just kind of dictates.
That's probably why the grave, the headstone shifts so much at the cemetery, for the same reason, I bet.
Could be.
Yeah.
And we've had so much rain.
And the last couple, the last couple of years, it just rains all the time.
But there's no such thing as climate change.
No comment.
No comment.
Does anyone else have anything they'd like to ask? Or need to know? No? Thank you for waiting till the end of the meeting.
Thanks, Kevin.
I appreciate that.
You answered all my questions.
Great. So you'll get back to us with our questions we do have? Thank Thank you. You can leave. You don't have to be polite.
Just writing this down.
Okay.
Bombarded.
And then he's out of here.
No. Questions.
We'd like you to leave. We're going to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And you can listen to the audio of this tomorrow online.
Okay, so, counselor, do we have a need for a closed session?
No.
Okay.
Oh.
Thank God.
Does anyone, would someone like to make a motion to adjourn?
I will.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I never curse me to say that. Because I watch everyone say aye.
So we're timeout is, hold on,
it is
8:15.
Who wants my Snickers here? I'm not a Snickers.